goodness. I don't know what else to tell you, so let's get into the message. I don't have anything, any real funny jokes or anything. I was just rushing. I have to admit, I misbehaved this morning. I pushed it to get here, but I finished the message, and people grab you and want to talk to you, and the message was, talking about troubled hearts and so forth. Don't do that if you don't have a lot of time, because afterwards, people want to talk about their troubled hearts, and I was like, I've got to go, but you can't just walk off when they're, so it's like, I've got several appointments coming up this week, but that's what it's all about. I just titled this one today, Soul Searching. Let's look and search the soul. And these are questions. I hit on this, I don't often bring any messages out of Genesis, and I don't have any prejudice there, not ever really lived there. But this one just kept bugging me. And why it's bugging me is because the Lord's bugging me, saying, you need to go back and deal with this message. So it's just three questions in there. These are all questions. They're soul searching questions, and that's why I titled it that. Is where are you? And do you believe? Who do you say I am? And they're the questions of life that God has asked at different points in history. And Jesus, asking, do you believe? Who do you say I am? And then today, where are you? And it all started back there in that garden with Adam and Eve. And they were told you could have anything you want in this garden, this beautiful place. And there was no thorns. There was no stinging scorpions. No spiders. Can you believe I got bit by a spider again? It's the second time. I can't believe it. First one put me in the hospital a week. That was in 97. And I turn around and I'm I've struggled with that. But anyway, we're okay. And I'm just frustrated over that. And then, and I was whining. I've been whining to the Lord. And I know nobody ever whines to God, do they? So why is all this happening to me? So I'm healing from the spider thing. Got me right on the front of my right leg. And so, had to go to the doctor for that. And they're treating that. And just one thing after another, electricity off this morning. And then I'm just thinking of those guys walking in the garden. They had it made. And I'm thinking, you guys caused all this. I just get mad at them all over again whenever something happens. Like, y'all caused this. Spiders would not be biting me if you hadn't disobeyed in the garden. You ever thought about that? Nothing bit you in the garden. Nothing would sting you. Hey, no mosquitoes. If there were, they didn't bite. Little bloodsuckers didn't bother anybody until they messed up. And there was nothing wrong in the place. And why is it that when nothing's wrong, they had to make wrong? Why is that? And it's like I've kidded around before. Adam's one of the people I want to meet early when I get to heaven and say, what were you thinking? What was going through your head at the time? And yet at the same time, Adam's going to say right back to me, well, Tony, what were you thinking? What were you thinking when you did whatever you did? What were you thinking when you met that person? What were you thinking when you bought that truck? What were you thinking when you did all this stuff? What were we thinking? God gives us just the same, not the Garden of Eden, but it's wonderful things. And why is it that our human nature leads us to go get the forbidden fruit every time? We just have to gravitate sooner or later towards something bad. You ever notice that in our nature? No matter how good it is, life's great, going well, and we got to gravitate to what's bad. Now, he told him you can have anything. It's a beautiful place. There's nothing bad here. Electricity doesn't go off. It's all good. And one thing, he said, just one thing. There's just one tree, and you can't have it. That's the worst thing to say to any human being is, you can't. Say it to a kid. You can't have it. You just stay away from that. You can't have that. You ever tried that? Yeah? You just don't touch that jar up there. It's going to get broken. It's going to be touched. Don't take those cookies out of there. No more cookies for you. Just say that to any kid. Let's move up a little. Say that to any adult. You say to the adult and other adult in your life, look, no more ice cream for you. No more of that blue, you know, that Bluebell, cherry vanilla ice cream, chocolate fudge, you know, all that chocolate chip stuff. No more for you. You can't have it. The minute that we hear no more, we start craving more. Let me tell you one of the worst things that can happen, you know, is be out somewhere and run out of water. And I don't mean you're in, you know, where you're never going to get any. Have you ever noticed that let's just say right here, and we find out there's no, the water's off. Isn't it incredible how thirsty you become instantly? You never thought about it before, but the minute you hear the water's off, you're dying of thirst. We're not going to make it. We won't get through the service. People be passing out. There's no water. It's in our mind. And just say, you can't have, you can't do. You know, there were some times when, you know, you're supposed to have a resupply in military, and they didn't show up. You know how that stuff goes. Yeah, we're going to be, you know, you got your asthma, you know, you got your location, everything, your grid marking on there, and you be at this at a certain time, and you'll have a drop, and you get resupplies, and more of those wonderful at that time sea rations, and I'm going, more ammo and all this stuff, and you're there, and it doesn't happen. And suddenly you're starving to death. You're not going to make it, but you got to push on to the next drop, the next place, and so on. And we're like that in life, aren't we? I don't. That's our human nature. So before we blame Adam and Eve, we need to look at ourselves and say, we're just that way. We're just that way. They did it, we do it. I don't know why, but we do it. I've craved things in life just because I saw somebody else eating it. Have you ever done that? You don't want it, but you see somebody else with it. And you don't. So anyway, here was the problem. I'm not going to try to read all that stuff to you, but God said, it's all yours, have fun, no mosquitoes, great life, just don't do that or, you know, you're going to die. And one day the devil, the serpent, is in the garden. You see pictures of him. They picture him as this big, you know, python-looking thing, boa. It just calls him a serpent. We don't really know why, but the devil is a serpent. He is a crawling, lying, sneaking thing that grabs you and bites you when you least expect it. And so all we know is the serpent was there. And I have an issue with this. Get this. We know the devil had been thrown down to earth. There was a big war in heaven. God threw the devil out. And all the angels that rebelled with him, we'll never understand that till we get there. But it happened. But in a place of paradise, a perfect that was perfect, what was the imperfect doing there? I've never, you know, that's a question I cannot answer. What was that evil thing doing there, except that he's thrown to earth and he is the, it says he's the prince and power of the air and whatever all that means, but he was there. He made his way into that garden. God created the Garden of Eden, and there's that serpent in that garden, and the serpent was out to do bad. In a perfect place. Friends, I guess before you think and you start getting disillusioned with life or with God and get upset with him and frustrated, just remember that in the most perfect of conditions, the serpent's going to be there to try to make it imperfect. And we can't explain why, but it always will. It's just the way it'll always be there. So Eve listens to the serpent and he twists scripture around. And by the way, that's one of the things. That's why the scripture in 1 John says to test the spirits. Be sure you're hearing from God before you do something. Be sure that you read the scriptures and whatever is pertaining to whatever you're thinking in your life, because the devil knows this scripture. He just doesn't live it. He doesn't believe in Jesus. He knows Jesus. He knows who he is, but he won't accept him. He wanted to be God, see? That's why he got thrown out of heaven. But here's the issue. He'll misquote scripture to you. He'll do it through other people. He'll do it through churches, do it through denominations. He would try to do it through me if I let him. That's why I ask you to always pray for me, to be accurate, to be honest, to be integrity, to tell the truth and give practical application with that truth. That's my job. That's what I'm here to do. I'm not here to make anybody just feel good, have some big celebration. I'm here to bring the truth of the Word of God. I need prayer all the time for that to happen. Because there's an enemy out there, and he's described in the New Testament as a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. So you got to watch for him, pray him down, come against him all the time. So there they are, and there he is, and he lies and twists scripture, and he gets Eve, talks her into thinking that God's hiding something from her, and so she takes the fruit. Then she gets Adam, and says, Adam, hey man, you got to try this stuff. And they forget the rules. When the one tree, the one place that's forbidden, that's where the kids are going to go. And they did it. And that's where we break into our message today. Where are you? And this, I'm using New King James. I hadn't used it in a while. And I just seemed to work good here. So we're using it. And so there, now what did they do? It says, immediately they realized their nakedness. They became aware of sin and desires and all those kind of things. And so they hid. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So here comes God. How did that work? It's really not God. It says the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. By the way, you see fig leaves? That's man's image. They hid themselves among the trees of the garden. Not a big thing, but when, you know, we've always seen them covered with fig leaves, they were hiding in the trees of the garden. You say, does that make any difference? No, but to be accurate, to be really honest, it doesn't say that they covered themselves with fig leaves. So, now you can go tell your friends that and say, man, I know the scripture. It wasn't fig leaves, or we don't know if it was fig leaves. We just know, it just says they were hiding in the trees. No? So they're amongst the trees. They get, you know, obviously where the bushes, the trees are thick. And Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Where are you? Now, you can get in debates, and seminary classes are great for this, and they were boring at the same time, but doing this. You know, was God literally walking in the garden? Was it just the voice of the Lord in the garden? And I know it's like, do you ever read your Bible, guys? It says, no man has seen God at any time. So it's the voice of the Lord speaking. He was in spirit, but he was in some spiritual presence. But here's the neat thing. He was communing with them. He walked, it says he walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Apparently God did this a lot with his creation. And, you know, and that's really, what can you say? I say, oh, what a pun. I start saying, that's really cool. And I'm sorry. That just started popping. But in the cool of the day, it was a cool thing. And Adam, and then all of a sudden, his wonderful creation, they're hiding themselves. They're hiding themselves. You know why they listen to the devil? You ever ask yourself, why did Eve listen to the devil? Because he told her, listen to this. He told her something she wanted to hear. Why do you think so many churches today, so-called churches, have so-called pastors who are just preaching what the people want to hear rather than what God says? The scripture says in the latter days, people have itching ears and they will hire teachers to tickle those ears and tell them what they want to hear instead of the truth. The enemy, the devil, the serpent told her what she wanted to hear, that there's something more for you. There's something special for you. Everybody wants that. He also implied that God was holding something back. That God's holding out on you. Something good is being withdrawn from you. Eat the fruit and you'll prosper. You won't die. And here's what she wanted to hear. You will be like God. Listen to me. Listen to this. Get this truth. This is why when you see dictators, you see people today wanting to run the world, run a country. They want to be the total, absolute, you know, dictator of the whole thing. It's in the nature of human beings to do this. We want to play God. Why? Because we were created in God's image, and we have to submit ourselves to God, or we ourselves want to become gods. That's why it's so easy for people to play God. And listen, whenever we're judging other people, we're playing the role of God. And I get kicked for that all the time. I say, kick, my conscience kick. The Lord convicts me of it. Tony, what are you doing? Because I'll get mad at people. I'm the only one, right? And I have a tendency to do that. You know, and it takes a bit. It takes a bit for me to get mad. And most of you, I don't think anybody in here has ever really seen me lose it, have you? You know, but I don't lose it, but I get mad. You just learn in this position, don't show it. When the pastor, you know, really, and when a pastor's mad, they teach you in seminary all this stuff. You know, when you're mad, lie. If you're mad, say, it's okay. I just love you, brother. Hope you die on the way home, but I love you. That's why I don't want to live that lie anymore. Try to be honest with you and just straightforward. But anyway, but when I judge people, I get mad. I say, that's sorry, sucker. And now I'm doing that a lot with politics. I'm sorry, excuse me, but I do every once in a while. You know, that's sorry. Why didn't that senator do that? And that, whatever it is. And the Lord will tap you on the heart, you know, the shoulder of your heart and say, you're judging. Careful with that, because that's playing God. I'm the judge. That's what God's saying. God's saying, I'm the judge. You're not. And when you start judging, you grieve the Holy Spirit, and then we get into all this mess. So anyway, this is what happened in there. But here's the thing. God said, where are you? Didn't he know? Sure he did. God knew where they were hiding. He's God. He sees everything. Knows everything. Hears everything. Knows the past, present, future. Knows. I mean, he knew they were going to do it. He knew where they were hiding. But you know what he was asking them? When you go into this and you say, why did he say then, where are you? He was wanting Adam and Eve, but certainly Adam, the man who was responsible in this place, to do the right thing. He was saying to him, Adam, where are you now in relationship to me? Where are you in our relationship with each other? You know, this question was not to say, where are you? I can't see you in all the trees out here. Yeah, he knew exactly where he was. He wanted Adam. He wanted to probe Adam's conscience. This is how conviction works. This is what conviction is. He asked Adam, like he asked you and me, where are you? Where are you in our relationship right now? Where are you? Are you hiding behind trees? Friend, if you have guilt in your life that you've never let God deal with, you're hiding in trees. You're covering yourself up from God. You're not coming clean with the Lord, and he's asking you constantly, where are you? Where are you? Come on, be honest. Where are you? Where are you this morning? Where am I? God's asking us that right now in our hearts through this little part of the message. Where are you? Is your heart right with me? Is there something you need to tell me that I already know? Did you cuss on the way to church? Okay, happened already, okay. Did you have a temper spell yesterday? Did you throw anything across the room? Did you yell at someone? Or did your facial expressions do it all for you? Did you roll your eyes? Did you cock your head up to one side? Did you shake your head violently? Well, you know, don't you just love that when somebody does that? You don't even get it out of your mouth. They're going, oh, does your temper flare when somebody does that? It's one of the things I was sharing in a message up there on the radio. was things like that. That what men, and you've heard me mention it here, but our body language, our facial expressions, they can kill a deal. They can run people off from Christ. We can tell them we love them and be singing the songs and doing all that, but in our expressions, in our eyes, we can have the most distancing, vicious look, or we can have the most loving, drawing communication. Friends, I'll tell you what, there is so much that lies within our expressions and we don't get it. And so he's asking this guy, and gal, where are you? God came for his walk and they're hiding. And they're hiding behind the trees. Why? Because they had guilt. And with guilt comes shame. And with all that comes fear. They feared what God was going to do to them. Because they ate out of his tree. That's God's tree. And they ate out of it. And every day God is asking us, where are you in relationship with me? What are you doing? What are you thinking? Why are you thinking that? Listen, guilt will cause you to hide. Unconfessed sin will cause despair. And sinful behavior will cause you to run. And they had all this and they ran and they hid in the trees. And you say, how heavy does that impact us? Man, the same question is asked right now. Where are you? We come to church, we do all this. But what God's saying is, where are you in our fellowship together? Where are you in praying and reading your Bible? Where are you in just letting go of a bunch of junk in your life? Where are you just saying, God, I'm the worst? That's why Paul, you look at Paul, and he was such an academic, intelligent person, yet at the same time, he said, I'm the chief of sinners. Why can't we just say that to God? God, I do my best, but I just fall short. I'm the chief of sinners. And he's saying, I know that. I've always known. I knew it before I created you. You were going to do all this stuff. I just need you to come clean with it. Because I want to heal you. Don't you understand? God is walking in the cool of the day in the garden of your heart. And he's asking you, where are you? And it's not to embarrass you. It's not to hurt you. He wants you to come clean so he can fix you. He wants to set you free from what ails you. Why do we run and hide? You know, my question to Christians anywhere that I meet with a group of people or like the message today, you know, it's like up there, you know, it's like, why do we run from God? And of course, people instantly say, there's people in the room there and that was on the radio, but you have the audience too. And they just talk off the side, you know. And it's like, you know, why do we hide? It's like, we're not hiding from God. It's really? Then why are you drinking so much? Why are you smoking what you smoke? Why are you running to sex and all this stuff? If you're not hiding from God, why are you turning to that? Because if you were coming clean with God, you wouldn't need it. Am I right? And it would be in its appropriate way. I've never been one. I'm not one of those guys. Never have been. I said you can't take a drink as a Christian. Oh, come on! Jesus made wine at the wedding in Galilee, for crying out loud. Of course, I've had some real staunch conservative people say, "No, that was grape juice." Well, if it was grape juice, it'd have said grape juice. You know. Call Welch's; they'll tell you. Anyway, the truth is, his mother came to him. He made the wine. So big deal. We get all hung up. You know, isn't it amazing how Christians get hung up on things? What he's talking about is it's excess. You know, if you're using that in place of a relationship or fellowship with me, then it's sin. So you ask yourself, do I drink to dull my problems, to forget? Then it's wrong. Or do I smoke this stuff or whatever it is? And you know, it's going to come back. See, Jesus Christ is the only fix. He's the only healing we have. And we've got to be honest when he says, where are you? We've got to be able to say, I'm over here hiding behind alcohol. I'm over here hiding behind sex. I'm hiding behind pornography on TV. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. How about this? Lord, I'm hiding behind my anger. I use anger to push people away. I don't want them to get too close because they might find out who I really am. How many of us get angry to push people away and so that they won't ever know the real me? How many relationships are broken and shattered because people can only get so close to us, and then we put up these walls, these barriers. Man, we got boundaries. Everybody needs boundaries, but we have impossible boundaries. I mean, way out of the norm. And we push them away. How many times have you sabotaged a relationship? You say something ugly. You do terrible things to push people out of your life. Didn't you tell God you're lonely? How many times did it happen? I hear it all the time in my work. I'm so lonely. And then when I hear that, first thing I start probing into is just this question here. Where are you? Where are you really? Why are you so lonely? I don't know. Here's a good one. And I'm not making fun of anybody. But I hear this more than I want to hear. I just don't know why people don't like me. I'm sitting there thinking, I do. I do. I've only been with you about 10 minutes. I know why they don't like it. You know, people just don't draw to me. I don't know what the problem is. I'm thinking, I'm looking at your face right here, and the expressions you've shown me right here is enough to drive a wild buffalo away from you. We need to use you to go out here and run these wild pigs out of pastures. Got such a sour expression on your face, you're curdling milk. Listen, friends, the question here is, where are you? Are you angry? Are you bitter? Are you loaded with guilt? Then come on, come clean. God's a good God. He's a loving God. Give it to Him. Are you lost? You afraid you're going to hell instead of heaven? Then tell Him that. I'm afraid I'm going to hell. Well, that's probably, Adam probably is, I don't know, I'm afraid you're going to kill me. Don't you know that's what they were thinking? No, God's not out to kill him. He's created in God's image. And God was disappointed in him. And we know what happened afterwards. And said, Adam, I'm sorry. It's not going to be easy for you anymore. You're going to have to leave the garden. But I'm not going to kill you that way. You'll have to die when you could have lived on and on. Anyway, enough on that. You get the idea. Where are you? Well, I know this. And you can count on this. Wherever you are, God's going to come walking in the garden of your heart in the cool of the day, and He's going to ask you that question. Be honest with Him when He does. And He'll heal you. He'll take care of you. He'll provide for you. He'll perform the miracles you need, but we're not through. That's the first question. We're not going to stay in Genesis. Now we're going to go to another place. This is a topical message where We're asking these questions and going to different places where questions have been asked. In an exegetical message, verse by verse, we're going to different subjects. Because the next big question, the next soul-searching question is, yeah, do you believe? Or the big question in more with that is, do you believe? And do you believe I can do this? When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed Him. This is Matthew 9. And they're crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he came into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to him, do you believe I'm able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. Let me ask you this. We read this passage. We read all this. Not only where are you, but do you believe? I mean, really? Do you believe? Do you have a mustard seed of faith? People jump up and down all the time and say, I believe in God. Great. So do the demons. It says the demons believe in God. They know who God is. They don't accept Him, but they know who He is. It said they fear and tremble. So you believe in God. You believe in Jesus. Is your life showing? These people kept following Him. They wouldn't give up. They wanted to be well. They knew that Jesus could do it. And if you know Jesus can do it, do you have that kind of faith? Do you know Jesus can do it? I want to say something. I don't mean it ugly. I mean, but I had this quoted to me several times. I know God can do it, but will He? Is that a lack of faith? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know God can do it, but will He? Is that where you are? See, He's asking that. Where are you? I know God can do it, And what does God want us to be saying in a statement of faith? I know, God, that you can do it, and I know you will. I know you will. I know you're going to come through. It may not, it probably won't be in my time frame. When I talk to God, I want him to do it now. Right now. Don't you ever get kind of ticked off at him because he won't do it now? Well, he's used to that. He knows how we're made. Yeah, I want him to do it now. Fix me now. Make this work now. And he just sits there. If you want to read a good psalm, read Psalms 83. And he said, "Oh God, why are you silent? Why are you being still?" And bless his heart, identify with that. You know, why don't you get off your heavenly little chair and do something about this? But read the whole psalm. It's a good one. It's a good one. Psalms 91 is another one. But you like that one, huh? Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that does. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so read that, 83 and 91. You'll be glad you did. I read those often, almost every day. And so, you know, Jesus said you only have to have faith that's the size of a mustard seed for miracles to happen. The mustard seed's pretty tiny, but once it's put in the ground and watered, it becomes a large plant. And your faith can start off really small, friends, but you know what you have to do to faith? You have to invest in it. You have to water it and fertilize it. You have to use it. It's just like your body. If you don't exercise your muscles, you get they atrophy. They shrink up. Friends, even now, you know, I mean, I can't do what I used to do. But I'm doing the best I can. I do standing push-ups. And, you know, the physical therapy people gave me this, looks like a bicycle inner tube cut in half. Got a knot in it, and you stick it in your door. But, man, it works real great for those resistance exercises. So it's like, I'm going to keep what I got. I lost a lot when I was in the hospital two different times, but I don't want to lose the rest of it, so I'm trying to keep up and do the best I can. You got to do that with your faith. You got to stretch it. You got to pull it. You got to make it, do it till it burns. Do it till you really feel it. You keep saying, God, I believe in you. I know you can do it. I know this is going to happen. If he doesn't want to do it, he will show you. He will show you in his word. He will give you a word, but you keep praying till he does it. You got to germinate that faith. I mean, produce. Let it produce good fruit. Listen, do you believe? Do you believe I can heal you? Do you believe God's going to heal you today? Do you believe God is going to make this country better? Act on it. Start living on it. Do you believe God's going to make you better? Is he going to help you overcome your guilt and your hurt and your pain and your sorrow and your frustrations? Do you believe it? Do you believe God can give you insight today just like he gave sight to the blind people? Can God touch us in such a way that we begin to see him like we've never seen him before? That's what he wants to do. You see, we're all blind in many ways. And ask God to give you spiritual insight. God, let me see spiritually. Let me hear. Touch my ears and let me hear you in the spirit. Let me hear your voice speaking to me every day. Now, the most sought for words in any message, in closing, we have one other passage. Right here in Matthew 16, Jesus was asking them, who do they say I am? Who is everybody saying that I am? And he said to them, to his disciples, but who do you say that I am? They were saying, all the people are saying this and that and that. And Jesus looked at his disciples, that's you and me too. And he said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. But the important part of this is, is what? He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "God revealed that to you." You say, okay, we know, we believe in Jesus. We wouldn't be here if we didn't. Well, who do you say is with your life? You see, where the Lord began to work on me with this message and in this particular question here was, yeah, Tony, I know that you believe in me as your Savior. I'm your Savior and Lord. But what, does your life say that? Is there any part of your life that doesn't say that I'm your Savior and Lord? Who you say I am with your attitude, your expressions, your body language, who do you say I am when you're kind of up against the wall? Like this morning, for instance, I got to tell you, I don't pass all these tests, but I passed one this morning. That second gal I called, I really wanted to tell her, look, lady, it's not you without electricity. And I'm going to have to take a bath of bottled water, and I'm not looking forward to it. Wine, wine, grab, grab. Anyway, but you know, when somebody's just being ugly to you and you're trying to just find out, when will my electricity be on? That's all I want to know. I have to go out, check the pump, reset the timing. You know, I got a well out there. You know how all that stuff works when electricity's on. It's a hassle. I just want to be able to do all that. And one of the things was, will it come on in time for me to go ahead and have my shower? Because it's going to take a lot longer to do this with bottled water. And then for just, you know, I don't know what's going on. Something wells up inside and you just, you know, you want, you really, don't you? You want to just reach in there and jerk their heart out over the airways. $300 I wasn't, yeah, she did, I'm sure. And I wasn't thinking that. You know why? Because at that moment, I'm the only person that exists. It's only my house that, you know. Is that the way it goes? And you're exactly right. Probably 300 people, because she said there's hundreds out. But I heard that, but I didn't listen to that. Because I'm the only one out there where I live that had electricity off, pay attention to me, meet my needs, and I was thinking, you ornery outfit, but I couldn't say it. And it was like God just pressed my lips together, and it was like, you know why, don't you? For many reasons, he's working on me, saying, don't be like this. Secondly, it's like, son, you got to go up there and preach this stuff. You at least need to pass the test on Sunday morning. I mean, at least, you know, on the way to church, don't do it. So I didn't. But you're right. I wonder how many hundred people are calling. And you know, and that's an interesting thing. When stuff happens, aren't we the most and only important people in the world? And if that is the case, then why doesn't my life show more effectively that Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord? I mean, if I am that significant, then my lifestyle should be that significant. And that's what God was doing this morning, just saying, you're going to have to be bigger than this. And what does that mean? You're going to have to let me be bigger than this in you. Now let's move on. So I took my bottle of water and took my bottled water shower delightfully. And even though it's not winter time, that bottled water is still pretty cold. And it's like, you ever done this before? Many times, but it's been many years. I was younger. You can do a lot of things when you're younger. No? We waded in streams and they'd wash in us, ice cold stuff. And I was in Alaska and that water's coming off the Brooks Mountain Range. That water was just, jump in the water. Didn't stay long, but jumped in the water. And here I am with bottled water and going, and it's like, son, you've changed. What's wrong with you? And you know what it really is? And I had to admit this. And see, we all need to come to this point, because God was saying, where are you, Tony? And probably this morning he's saying, what? What are you? And I thought, I'm a whining little baby. I'm spoilt. I want my hot water. I've forgotten what survival is and how to tough it. And you know what the real problem is? I didn't want to tough it. Anybody like that anymore? It's like, I paid my debt. Okay, I don't want to tough it. Guess what? He made me tough it. So we're good. So who do you say is in your conversation, your lifestyle? What does your life say? When people are rude to you on the phone like that, what is your life saying? Are they to your face? The way we relate to each other, see, in the family, the way husbands and wives and children all treat each other says a lot about where we are with Christ and about who we say he is. I guess most notable in this whole thing is, you know, who do you say I am? Who are you saying Jesus is when you really mess it up? Think about it. Do you blame? When you really blow it, do you blame people or do you just accept the responsibility and confess it? We have a tendency to blame. I'm not saying anybody here does that, but that's the human nature. We want to blame, don't we? They caused me to get mad. If you hadn't said that, I wouldn't have lost my temper. If that car hadn't cut me off, I wouldn't have done a very ugly thing with my hand. And on it goes. And the truth is, God's saying, now let that happen. Really? I'll let it happen. I didn't stop it because I need you convicted that you are not living what you say you are. That hurts, doesn't it? But it's true. You know, let me ask you this. What do you do when others mess up? You criticize them? Condemn them? Or do you say, it's all right. It's all right. We'll get through this. We'll get through this. Let me help you. God wants us in his full peace and confidence. He wants us with his joy. He wants us filled with his joy, his spirit filling. He wants us bearing fruit of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to succeed. Did you know that? As Christians. I can't tell you how successful you're going to be out here with your business or whatever you're doing for a living, but God wants you to succeed as a Christian, and he's done everything for that to happen. You've just got to start living the way he wants you to live. Who do you say I am? Who is Christ to you? Invest your faith in him and live it out. So there where you go, people can just look at you and know that Christ is in you. He's your hope of glory. So where are you? What do you believe? Who do you say I am? Now, this message isn't meant to make us all feel bad or anything. It's just meant to be questions that appeal to our soul. Soul searching. To say, hey, here's the good news. To say, hey, if I'm not where God wants me today, if I'll come to him and say, Jesus, help me, I really want to be where I'm supposed to be. Instead of beating you over the head, he'll say, look, kid, I love you. I love you so much I died for you. I rose again. I'm at God's right hand. I hear this appeal. And that's a prayer I want to answer. And will answer. To help you live with joy. A life that says, man, I know who he is. And Christ is in me, my hope of glory. And my walk with God is consistent. I don't know. I remember a line from, what is it, Crocodile Dundee? And he said, me and God, we're mates. That stuck with me because that's exactly what he wants us to be to him. Me and God, we be mates. That's what we're to strive for. Friend of God, we be mates. God, we thank you for your word, power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for leading us in the way you want us to go. I ask you to open every heart here and bring healing, forgiveness, salvation, wisdom, discernment, truth. God, heal what ails us this morning. Turn our lives around. Walk us right into your presence. When you're calling out this after this service today, when you're saying, even right now, where are you? God, open our hearts to be able to say, I'm right here, Lord. I'm naked before you, and I'm not where I need to be, but I'm here, Lord. I'm not blaming anybody. I confess to you. I ate the fruit. I messed it up. But God, I repent, and I'm standing here before you. And I'm asking your Son into my heart. My faith is in Jesus, and the blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. And I know who you are, Lord. Who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. My Savior and my Lord, and we be mates. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Bless you for being here. Thank you.